Our reading is from Lamentations chapter 3. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. For though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. To crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to deny a man justice in the presence of the Most High, to subvert a man in his lawsuit, the Lord does not approve. The word of the Lord.
Good evening. My name is Dean Miller, and I'm one of the pastors here. A glorious moment, Polybius, but I have a dread foreboding that someday the same doom will be pronounced on my own country. A glorious moment, Polybius, but I have a dread foreboding that someday the same doom will be pronounced on my own country. This quote comes from 146 BC and was made by a Roman general named Scipio Aemilianus. Scipio had fought for Rome against the Empire of Carthage and what we now consider the third major war between Carthage and Rome, often called the Third Punic War, and Scipio had won. After centuries of enmity between Rome and Carthage, Rome was finally going to take care of the Empire of Carthage from North Africa in what is now Tunis. And so he's pulling the walls of the city and burning the city and crushing the people of Carthage into the ground. As he was watching carnage burn, he turned to his mentor, Polybius, and expressed what he called this dread foreboding that a similar doom would one day befall Rome. He quoted Homer's Iliad regarding the fall of Troy, reflecting on the cyclical nature of power and the inevitability of imperial decline despite his immediate victory. If Carthage could fall, then one day Rome could fall. Scipio was doing to Carthage the usual things conquerors did to the conquered. Indeed, what Babylon did to Jerusalem in 586 BC, which many of us have been studying all winter, and just finished on Sunday, right, as we finished the book of Jeremiah. He's conquering. He's igniting fire, tearing down buildings, dragging off people into slavery, sowing destruction. But Scipio's legacy down to us in these centuries is less the conquering than this statement of perspective. And it is very unexpected in this moment. Right, this should be a triumph for him. He makes this remark in what should have been a moment of exhilaration after long years of struggle and war. And instead, what his victory did was heighten his own sense of his mortality and of Rome's. As he watched Carthage burn, he tasted his own frailty. And he could have said what we are about to hear Johnny and Corky say to us when they put ashes on our foreheads, from dust we have come, and to dust we shall return. From Jerusalem to Carthage to us. History and this evening all remind us of our mortality, our finite world. They take us out of the immediacy of our particular joys and hurts, sorrows, elections, Olympics, Instagram, and yank us into the larger story of how we are not eternal. And hopefully they remind us that we need a Savior. Tonight we begin the church season of Lent. Throughout the year, as Christians, we order our lives around God's story: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. God's view, God's exhortations, God's encouragements, God's character. They form us and teach us what it means to be fully alive. Ash Wednesday is our Anglican commitment to facing and bearing witness to the truth, the inevitability of our own decline, and it's a reminder that we are finite people, that we go from dust to dust. No amount of distraction can distance us from this truth, not even success like Scipio's. And we experience in our finiteness a gap and a longing between the earthly and the eternal. We don't have enough, but Jesus is enough. Today we choose to order our lives into a vitally significant 40 days. We set aside these days to enter into a holy Lent. This is a somber and intentional phrase. We say this because we believe it's better not to do than to do poorly. It's better not to enter into this kind of intentional consideration without the proper reverence and understanding. As we enter into that Lent, we are offering our physical habits and practices in the hopes and desire to taste new spiritual realities of a Jesus who can take our nothing and feed us against all odds. And this year and this night, we have entered into that Holy Lent by reading from this chapter in Lamentations. Lamentations is a 5-chapter poem, a literary guide to the grief of Israel. It was written by Jeremiah after the end of Israel in Jeremiah 52. All the poems are acrostics, 22 verses. Most of the chapters are 22 verses, using the Hebrew alphabet and its 22 letters as a guide for their grief and sadness as they engage the reality of having lost Israel and Jerusalem. All the chapters are 22 lines except for chapter 3, which is 66 lines. Three times the descriptions, three times the sorrow, three times the confession. The chapter you heard read is really the pinnacle of the book, and our verses crescendo to the top of the most important part of that pinnacle. And they provide a stirring center for the grief of Israel and for the Lenten practices of Christ Church Vienna here in Vienna, Virginia. In our finiteness, how can Lamentations give us what Scipio did not have? Hope during this Lent and during a season of being in particularly grasped by our finiteness. I just want to quickly point out two things from these few verses: order and this center in the book of Jeremiah. First, Lamentations teaches us the dignity and wisdom in bringing order to our sorrow. Again, many of us have just finished the book of Jeremiah. We know how terrible the destruction of Israel and the fall of Jerusalem was. Fire and chains and death and prisoners, women and children dragged away, all because of the choices Israel kept making away from a God who loved them and gave them a clear path to Him. Their world was a mess. And as you read Lamentations, you see that they feel, like we often do, that that mess is a chaos. They can barely get their head above water in. There's chaos emotionally and relationally and nationally and spiritually. And yet in this chaos, we get this uniquely ordered book. Again, acrostics, 22 lines. It's beautifully crafted and super disciplined. And all the commentators on this book note how this order gives dignity and honor to the pain and suffering that Israel is in as they grasp their own finiteness and their need to confess before God. Their crying and their weeping is dignified and honored by the structure and discipline that's in this book. I read a quote this week, as many of us probably have, about the Olympics. I read lots of quotes, but one in particular stuck out where someone was describing a couple Olympians saying they were 1/8 talent and 7/8 self-discipline. And that's a good way to think about the Book of Lamentations and our own Lenten practices. It will grow a dignity and honor as we take 1/8 of talent or idea and ask God to give us 7/8 of discipline. Many of us are going to seek to bring order and discipline to our sorrows and prayers, griefs, and confessions over the next 40 days. We'll try new disciplines. As we often say, some of us will take some things off, stop doing some things. Some of us will put some things on, start doing things. You heard Johnny suggest on Sunday, maybe fasting from something. Stop doing something you do. Fasting from food or your phone or the news or chocolate or wine or coffee. Some of you may put on things like giving generously, thinking of others. I knew of someone a few years ago who decided they were going to give by trying to encourage someone specifically every day during Lent. They were going to give generously with their words every day. I know someone else who determined to take on reading the Bible, so decided they were going to read the entire Bible in the 40 days of Lent, and they did. They made time, and they read the entire Bible. These are not mandates, they're just ideas. But we're all going to, many of us are going to try to bring order to the way we experience these next 40 days. That order and that discipline will require commitment and focus. It's a small echo of how God brings order to our chaos that we see throughout the Bible. And it's, again, what the writer is doing here in Lamentations. So Lamentations 3 can help us consider what disciplines you and I might take on. And I'd encourage you to think about that. Make a decision in the next 24 hours. What are you going to do over the next few days to bring some order to these days? Maybe you're going to write poems, paint paintings, compose songs, craft laments of your own. Make a commitment to do something that orders the next 40 days for yourself. So that's the first thing from Lamentations, order. The second thing is that Lamentations 3, again, gives us hope by the pinnacle verses of the entire book. Remember the center of Lamentations, which you heard read. This, again, is what was said. In the midst of the terrible destruction of Israel, here is what Jeremiah writes. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. The steadfast love of the Lord, I bet you could finish it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I bet none of you knew verses from Lamentations. I bet most of us didn't know that's where these verses came from. Scipio's comment as Carthage burned was unexpected. And Jeremiah's reciting of God's faithfulness here is unexpected. It's right in the middle of these beautiful laments. It's surrounded by laments and cries and sadness and destruction. And yet the center of the book is a reminder that God's steadfast love never ceases. And the center of any of your lives the next 40 days is a reminder that that mercy of God's will be new every morning of the next 40 days for you. Carthage might burn, Rome might burn, we all are dust to dust, but God's love never runs out. His hesed, his loving kindness is eternal. So as we turn to pray and then to offer ourselves for ashes and for communion, Again, let's remember these two things. First, bring order in some way to your chaos with the Lord the next few weeks. And remember the sinner that God's love for you never, ever fails. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you again for the profound beauty in these sentences. Not just for the words and how true they are, but for the way they were written in such a terribly difficult context. Some of us come tonight, Lord, in similar contexts or aware of people we love who are in similar contexts. We would own those verses for each other. We would ask that we would taste them in a new way this next 40 days, that you would remind us as we bring our lives to you and as some of us take on new disciplines, that in the midst of all the self-discipline, it would bear the fruit of us knowing your love for us in a fresh way. We offer and ask for this in your holy name. Amen.